Welcome to Grace Break Radio, where your host, Tracy Worley, that's me, brings a bit of mercy, grace, and courage to your day. Join us today for an infusion of God-inspired thoughts, questions, and laughter along the way. Hi, everyone. Again, welcome to Grace Break. This is Tracy Worley, and I am honored and thrilled to introduce you to our guest, Laura Priss. And I'm even more thrilled because Laura and I have, over the year, become very well-acquainted and good friends. Grace Break is all about refining energy, movement, and thought. And today, Laura is going to share with us one size does not fit all. And Laura's purpose is helping others step confidently into their potential through increased self-awareness and intentional action. She does this using coaching, mentoring, teaching, and development processes, as well as through in-depth focused studies. Laura strives to add value to the people whose lives she touches every day. And Laura, one of your expertise is communication. And I love talking to you about this. We kind of geek out about potential and communication all the time. but I want to start off by congratulating you on your first ebook you launched.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yes, I'm excited about that. It's focused around really asking yourself the questions that will help you discover what has meaning for you in your life. I've found that many of my clients are sort of wandering aimlessly, and I don't want that for them. It's just such a different way to live when you understand your purpose, when life has meaning, and you're intentional and focused about how you live each day.
Absolutely. And the book does take you right through, you know, a guided journey of what questions to ask. You know, am I on, and you use some kind of ship analogies as well. Am I on the right boat, or do I need to get on a different one? Am I just floating aimlessly? And the questions are very pointed, and I love it. So
great. I'm so glad you enjoyed it.
Let's move into Grace Break, and this one size does not fit all. Regardless, I think if we're an organization of one or we're an organization of thousands, this topic of reward and recognition in our organization is huge. So I'm gonna let you take it away. What do you mean by one size does not fit all?
Well, I think we've all experienced, especially with communication, with any kind of relationship, regardless of whether it's in organization, community, family, friends, school, whatever arena you're in, one size does not fit all, meaning that everybody has different communication styles. They're motivated by different things. They are inspired by different things. And they want different things in terms of reward and recognition. So I think, you know, you and I have discussed this about recognition for our accomplishments, our efforts, the value that we add to the organizations and the people around us. And you and I have very different styles about how we want to be recognized for those efforts.
Mm-hmm.
And the same is true with everybody you encounter. And so as a leader, as a person seeking to develop strong relationships with people, we have to be self-aware enough about ourselves to understand these preferences and styles, but also to be aware enough to recognize them in others. Because if you have a misstep, especially around reward and recognition, you could damage the relationship and really dull a person's enthusiasm for performing.
And so this is where, you know, I know in my corporate experience, is we are trying to shove 500-plus employees into the same system and not taking that extra step of, you know, Tracy, how do you respond in being recognized? If you're doing a great job, what should I do? Is that a certificate to go golfing? Is that a, you know, front page newspaper ad? And yeah, that's my style. No, I'm kidding. Processes do you help organizations put into place to recognize and communicate that motivation and inspiration?
Well, the foundation for me, as I said, is self-awareness and then intentionality. And so I always start with the leader, whether that's the whole organization's leader or the team leader, or even with an individual being the leader of you and your life. You need to really take the time to get to know yourself. What are your communication styles? What are your negotiation styles? How do you develop trust? How do you extend trust to others? How do you get motivated and inspired? How do you approach different situations? How do you react in stressful situations? And when you get to know all of these things about yourself, you understand what you're strong at, where your areas of opportunity are for growth, should you choose to focus on them. But you're more aware of who you are and how you behave in a variety of different situations. And when you are self-aware, it allows you to become intentional about your behaviors, your words, your actions, with focus on achieving your desired outcomes. See, when you respond to a situation, it's thoughtful, it's intentional, and you're aware of the risks, implications, benefits, and consequences of any given action that you might take. Oftentimes, when we're not self-aware and not in tune with who we are and who others are and the whole realm of emotional intelligence, we simply react without thinking. It's typically immediate and emotional and doesn't necessarily get us the results that we're striving to achieve. And so that's the foundation first, is to take a look at ourselves and learn those things. And when we do that, we're also a little more adept at recognizing other people's styles and preferences. So that's the first step. With motivation, reward, and recognition, well, in communication too, one of the first steps is to observe. You know, what do people ask for? What do they respond to? What gets them riled up? What gets them excited? What gets them motivated? What kinds of concerns do they raise? What kinds of questions do they ask? All of these are clues to the things that are really important to them, the things that are stressful to them, the things that motivate them, and the things that are rewarding to them. We can do trial and error, you know, throw something out there. And, you know, when Tracy does a great job, give her the golf club certificate and see how she responds. If she's really excited about it, then we say, yeah, okay, that was a good choice. If she says, oh, gee, thanks, then we kind of know that maybe that wasn't the key for her. You know, I have a girlfriend who, you know, we just had Valentine's Day. And a lot of men might think, oh, if I send her a dozen roses, I'll be in like Flynn. Well, that may or may not be the case if the woman you're sending roses to loves roses. I had a very close friend. Her favorite flower was daisies. And she eventually married the man who figured out that sending her roses on Valentine's Day was not the thing to do. But, you know, if you get through the observation and the trial and error and you're still struggling, it could be just as simple as sitting down and having the conversation and saying, Tracy, I really want to be able to provide you appropriate reward and recognition, something that's meaningful to you. So what would I do for you that would make a difference?
And that's a powerful question, and I want to share with you in the audience is, one of the best leaders I've had throughout my corporate career was somebody that came in, it was a huge transition, took the time to sit down with everyone individually who was new onto his team, and he was the new one, and he asked me that question. Tracy, if I were to reward you and recognize you for a great job and how I appreciate you, what would that be?
Oh, I love it.
I was not prepared for that question. Number one, I have never in my corporate career had anyone ask me that. And number
really,
two, yeah, I have somebody new in my life who, you know, I'm having a transition, and it's always my job to make everybody look good. And how do I make this gentleman look good? And he's asking me how he's going to help me look good. I've never had that. So, go ahead.
The beauty of it, it's just so simple. And yet we are so hesitant to have that kind of a candid conversation with someone. But let me ask you this, if this is the result. So when he took the time and had the awareness to ask you that question, how did you feel?
Oh, the feeling he completely, any kind of angst I might have had, you know, like, okay, this is another new leader on my team. Here we go again. It completely unveiled the whole process. You know, it was like, it's that true thing of the three, care, help, and trust. And he answered all three of those in one question.
Yeah.
I knew that he cared enough to just ask the question, okay, I'm starting to build a little bit of trust with him, and it sounds like he wants to help me too, and that's to further career and recognize all of the work that I do. You know, I would say good, bad, or indifferent, but this was to reward, so it's rewarding the good behavior and outcomes, and that was huge.
Yeah,
so I left
huge.
left that meeting without angst. So as far as our listeners, be prepared for the question. How do you want to be recognized? So when we go into that realm, I know there's some personalities and all kinds of assessments that we can take. Is there certain questions that we can ask ourselves, Laura, of this really is the way I like to be rewarded, behind the scenes with just a gift card to Starbucks, or the front page ad?
Well, absolutely. And here we are back to self-awareness, right? So, you know, what motivates me? And think beyond the surface. I mean, you know, some people will say, yeah, it's the gift card. Some people will say, oh, it's money. And really, when we do the research of the top 10 items that motivate people, typically money is at the bottom. Now, compensation has to be fair and equitable as a foundation, but money is not typically the key motivator. But the thing is, you know, what motivates me? What inspires me? What's going to get me excited and get me burning to go to work today and perform at a high level? You really need to think about those things and pay attention to, you know, reflect on past experiences of when did I get really excited at work? What was going on? Why was I excited at work? What did I get out of that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how was I recognized for those efforts? What felt good and what didn't? You know, for me, and this is true for many people, if they're a little more introverted, I don't necessarily want a lot of hoopla for recognition. For me, the absolute bottom line is it absolutely must be genuine, authentic, sincere, and specific to something I did. I would be mortified if someone had a huge celebration to recognize me for something. Now, that might not be the case for you or someone else. You know, you may want the front page ad, but you have to be self-aware and ask yourself those questions. What motivates me? What inspires me? What feels really good? What has meaning for me? What would be rewarding? Is it the gift certificate? Is it, you know, a couple extra hours off on Friday? Is it being included in certain circles, getting connected to people I wouldn't have access to? Is it getting assigned to special projects that are going to help me stretch and grow, you really have to spend some time reflecting on these questions.
And let's say that, you know, most of us are not blessed to have a leader ask us that question. So how do we relay that within our organization? One size does not fit all. That's not on everybody's radar. But if we're working one-on-one right underneath, you know, a supervisor or management, is it, you know, do we take that in at our yearly review? Because at the end of the day, it comes down to one of our favorite words is potential. And so me as an employee, I want to drive my potential as far as I can go.
Absolutely. And you just said the key thing. You want to drive. And here's the deal, ladies and gentlemen. If you do not develop a plan for your life that has meaning for you, that guides you in the path that you want to go to achieve what you want to accomplish, other people in your life will develop a plan for you. And their plan for you, and I don't say this maliciously, but they're going to fit you into gaps that they have to fill needs that they have based on some skill or potential that they see in you that may or may not feed your soul. It may or may not be the direction you want to go in. And so, as you just said, Tracy, the key is you've got to drive, and you've got to be thinking about what you want and how you want to get there. Now, the annual review might be a perfect time. This again, goes back to one size does not fit all. The answer is it depends. It depends on your relationship with the supervisor. If a new supervisor is coming in and you're in the getting to know you phase, I think in most cases it's perfectly appropriate, and it shows drive and initiative to a new supervisor, manager, director, what have you, to go to them and say, you know, I'd like to sit down and talk with you about my role in the department, my role in the organization, what my personal goals are, how that fits with the organization, and where I want to get to, and how I would see us working together to get there. You know, you may have to initiate the conversation. If you're blessed with a leader who is self-aware and is driving his or her own journey, they will likely be more aware that they need to help their staff do that as well. But, you know, you may have to initiate that conversation. And then the annual review is a good time to refresh those conversations and take a look at where you've gotten since the last one and where you're headed now and what support and resources you need to get there. But I just caution you to not wait for someone else to initiate that conversation, because you may be, you know, filling out your Social Security benefits paperwork before that happens, if you don't do it on your own.
And that's so true. And I'm waiting to circle this conversation back. Laura, you just laid tracks down of why you're such a successful coach. And right now, I want to offer to our listeners, you're giving time of yourself and this expertise. We are giving away a free coaching session with Laura. So the first caller in, 347-850-8893. And again, that's 347-850-8893. Be the first caller in, and a free coaching lesson with Laura. And I tell you, I get to kind of strategize with her, but it's you are phenomenal. So first caller, I know it's Monday, it's a holiday, so we'll go from there. So Laura, you alluded to the don't wait, you know, just to kind of, because they're going to fit you in wherever they want you if you don't have and drive your own plan. And it reminds me of the analogy, and I believe it's in The Good to Great. Please correct me if you know the seat on the bus.
Yeah.
Who's on the bus? And in some aspects, that analogy really works. But if you're driving your own career and your own life and your potential, you don't want somebody telling you what seat on the bus you're going to be taking.
Oh, and no. It'll suck the life out of you.
Yeah. And, you know, and I've had a couple of people say, well, where do you want to be? And I'll state where I want to be, and I'm still not in the right seat. And eventually, either you're going to, you know, pull the cord so the bus stops so you can get off, or the wheels are going to start coming off, and you're going to wake up one morning, and you haven't been on the bus for a while.
I was just going to say, you know, if you look at my resume or my profile on LinkedIn, you'll see that I've been on a lot of buses.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had a plan where I was going, and in each one of those cases, somebody else was trying to fit me into the gaps they had. I had a manager at one point, you know, my background's in corporate communication. She wanted me to be the web queen, and not just defining web content, but she believed that I should be the designer, the developer, the programmer, as well as developing the content. Well, I'm not a graphic designer. I'm not a web tech guru. And, yes, I could shoehorn myself into getting semi-functional in those areas of technical responsibility, but it would never be great. It would never be a world-class website, and I would be dead in the gutter somewhere because it was just so demoralizing, so demotivating, so not where my talent, my passion, my skills lie. And so I eventually had to pull the bus stop cord to get off that bus, which is why mm-hmm. I've ended up where I am today, coaching, mentoring, teaching, speaking about these things, because I realized that the buses I was getting on didn't have a seat for me.
All I can say is amen to that, sister.
And life is good.
And one of the hardest things, you know, and I understand, you know, in our economy right now, people are fearful to get off the bus. But at the end of the day, the world needs you somewhere else. If you know that your potential and you're being called to do something else other than the seat on the bus that you've been given, get off the bus. It's super scary. You know, I am not going to put any blinders or veils over that. So when we kind of talk about one size does not fit all, and we've alluded down this path of just get off the bus. you know, I want to leave our audience today knowing that if that's where their heart is being called to, what's some first steps that they should ask themselves? And obviously you and I both know a huge support system is key as well to getting off that bus.
Well, absolutely, and it goes back again to the self-awareness and intentionality, knowing what your purpose, passion, and calling is, where your greatest strengths lie, and what is most fulfilling and satisfying for you. Then you can intentionally develop a plan to get off the bus and either get on the right bus or create your own bus. I can say that, yes, it is super scary, but frankly, Tracy, the idea of staying in the wrong seat, on the wrong bus, headed down the wrong road is far more scary to me than getting off. And so two things. Maybe three. Look to those people who are getting the kinds of results that you want and learn from them. Don't ask for opinions from people who are also stuck in the wrong seat on the wrong bus, because they're not going to help you get better results. They're stuck too.
Mm-hmm.
Find a coach who can help you think through this. They're not going to give you the answers. They're going to help you discover the right answers for you. And if you're changing buses, changing seats, creating your own bus requires some expertise in a specific area where you need to grow, find an experienced mentor in that area who can share the benefits of their wisdom. The other key is you have to invest in yourself and continue to add value to yourself in order to add value to others. People aren't going to just do that for you. You've got to drive that one.
And that is each three of those key pieces I find all the time. Coaching people in transition is really who I personally end up coaching is that transition piece. And those people who are investing in themselves, they're not waiting for the organization to pay for it. They are going out on their own and investing in their own potential. And those
Absolutely.
Are the ones that are retaining employment. They are the ones who are moving employment to a more joyful organization, or they're going out on their own. But those who are consistently investing in themselves are more secure in today's economy. And I truly believe
absolutely.
Even though the economy is on an upswing, they're still the ones that are going to be more secure in job security and happiness.
Oh, I agree. And if you wait for someone else to invest in you, they're going to invest in you to fill a gap they need, not necessarily where you want to grow.
Correct. So if you're being sent to web design 101 and that's not your expertise, you're in trouble.
No kidding. Waste of time and energy and money.
Yeah. So we, you know, just like Grace Break Fashion, our 30 minutes has gone by really quickly. And if you want to know more about Laura, her book, coaching programs, or invite Laura to speak at your organization, go to leadershipandlifepotential.com, leadershipandlifepotential.com, or go to gracebreak.com, and we've got the link up there. And Laura, we do have time, and I wanted to make sure that we ended the call. You have a phenomenal program masterminding on one size does not fit all. Can you go into a little bit of detail of what that is? And again, those who are listening, go to Laura's website, and the information will be on her website. But tell us about the masterminding on one size does not fit all.
Absolutely. So it's focused on communication, motivation, and reward and recognition to really engage your employees, build your teams, and create a high-performing organization. So it's 8 modules, 8 one-hour sessions. I believe we're starting March 4th, and
okay.
We're limiting the seats so that folks can grow together. If you have too many people, they don't get good participation time. But we're
mm-hmm.
talking about, you know, how to turn your people into your chief marketing ambassadors, your chief public relations officers, how to lead your team, how to design incentive programs for them, how to get to know and how to have those conversations to learn what motivates them, what reward and recognition will move them, and how to best communicate with them so that you all get the outcomes you desire. It's pretty exciting. I'm really looking forward to it.
When you told me about the program a couple of weeks ago, I was like, wow, that's awesome how this has all culminated. And I know that you've had the program, you know, set up for a while, but what a great opportunity to really hone in not only on your self-motivators, but your team as well. So I love it. Laura, again, thank you for sharing your wisdom and bringing us into your heart today. Until next time, look up and out, my friends. This is Tracy Worley.